Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi, folks, and welcome to episode 5 of Epochs of the Lotus Eaters, where Bo, Dave, and myself are going to sit down and discuss the ill-fated Sicilian expedition of Athens during about halfway through the Peloponnesian War. Alcibiades has managed to restart the Peloponnesian War, as we saw in the last episode. Excuse me. He managed to get a grand coalition against Sparta, which got defeated at Mantinea, but that put the Spartans on the back foot. And for some reason, the Athenians thought, this gives us a lot of breathing room. What are we going to do? We're going to invade Sicily, which isn't very near to Sparta and doesn't make a huge amount of sense, but we'll talk about that. But right, so let's begin, I suppose. Why are we going to Sicily?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. It's one that people have asked ever since. And we've got the sources, haven't we? Thucydides is the main one,
yeah.
But we've also got Plutarch's Lives. Yeah. And none of them give us a good explanation. That they offer something, but you, when you read it, you're like, really? Does that make sense? But we can go into it, what the reasons are given. But one thing that springs to mind is that quite often, even wars nowadays don't make perfect sense, the reasons for going to war. You know,
such as invading Iraq.
That was exactly what I was going to say. but there are just lots and lots of examples. Like, why did they do that? Was there some sort of ulterior motive that hasn't been mentioned? Quite possibly. But I mean, the reasons they give are, apart from anything, well, Alcibiades, it comes down, it's Alcibiades' baby, isn't it?
Yes.
So it very much comes from his mind. And
he gives a few glory, different, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And he gives a few different reasons, but none of them seem really all that solid or concrete, do they?
But when you think of the character of Alcibiades and you think, does he just want to have been the guy who conquered all of this? That sounds more plausible to me.
Yeah, well, his enemies say that. Mm. Two of the main characters we'll probably need to talk about straight away are Alcibiades and Nicias.
Yes.
Nicias. And they're sort of polar opposites, aren't they? Certainly politically. One's a young man, one's an old man, one's conservative, one's brazen.
In every personal way, they're the total opposite. Nicias is famously conservative and, you know, he's torpid. You know, he doesn't want to go and do these things. He's very, very cautious. Whereas Alcibiades is a reckless hothead, who's exactly the energetic young man who thinks the world is at his feet. So it's actually quite incredible that you get such difference of character, both in the political arena, butting heads.
Mm. One of the things that gets said, at least in Thucydides, is that it might be a generational thing.
Mm.
That Alcibiades is sort of the young up-and-comer upstart that's sort of very popular, whether he's popular because he deserves to be or not is a different question, but he's quite popular.
Yeah.
Whereas Nicias and his faction just seem to be, they're waning. They may be the slight generation before. Mm. So just to put it into some context, you've had, 8-9 years of peace.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think about this, that it could possibly have just been the end of it. There could be no more hot actions. That could have just been the end of the war. But instead, it's just a hiatus in the middle, and it all goes off again.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Peace of Nicias is actually the same problem of the surrender of Germany after World War One. Is it doesn't actually answer any of the questions. You know, Athens is still a major power, Spartan is still a major power, and none of the differences were resolved. You know, and so it's like, right, okay, so as I say, it's a hiatus. We'll put it on hold, but this is really just for a new generation to mature and then be like, okay, but why aren't we in charge? And that's where Alcibiades essentially is coming in, isn't it?
And I think, there's just lots and lots of different factors, and at a distance of over 2,000 years, it's difficult to know exactly what was going on. I mean, I know that's maybe a bit of a cop-out, because we have got a fair bit of detail compared to other episodes in the ancient world. Yeah, we've got a fair bit of detail on this. And one of the things I would say, just a sort of a grand overview idea or thing to mention, is that I think, how to say it exactly, but there was a cold war, some sort of cold war between them. So during this 8-9 years of peace, neither side seemed to have been acting in good faith. No. Both sides were sort of still trying to undermine each other. So, like after World War One, still the big powers were still sort of eyeing each other suspiciously. Yeah. Or the Cold War isn't probably a better example. You know, you're not actually sending tank divisions against each other or launching missiles, but in almost every other respect,
you're funding proxy wars,
it's a deadly conflict.
You're undermining their influence in other spheres. And I think you're absolutely right. Now, I do think it comes down to the sort of will of the people involved. They didn't think they'd been conquered, either side. Mm. You know, neither side had been conquered. Why should we back down? We've got just a bigger chance of winning this war as you do, even if we're not fighting at the moment. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the mentality that, for me at least, very much comes across. And frankly, the Athenians are mad. But, you know.
Well, that's one of the things, you know, like in the Cold War, where, say, for example, Vietnam, just for example, it's not really that close or got anything to do with American or Soviet politics, particularly. Mm. But both sides were prepared to use it as a theatre to combat each other. And the reasons are a bit spurious. I mean, for Vietnam, it was sort of the domino effect and was trying to stop communism. Whereas here, Alcibiades and his party, his faction, say, you know, look, the big cities in Sicily, Syracuse is the main one, they're going to be a threat to us at some point.
Yeah.
If they're on anyone's side, it's likely to be the Spartans, or at least not. They'll either be neutral or on the Spartan side, certainly not on our side. So they may not be doing anything aggressive at all towards us right now, but it is in our interest to go all the way over there and mess with them.
Yeah.
And so it's up to you to say, well, that's a sound idea, or whether it's just pure nonsense.
Well, it feels very much like Cold War politics, actually. Where it's not so much that, you know, there's no particular threat in Vietnam, but what it is another entire country that communism has conscripted into its sphere of influence and so can draw men and money and resources from. And that was the same justification that the Athenians gave for Sicily, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they try and give a few others. If you ever read the ancient historians like Thucydides or Herodotus, and they quite often make a lot of speeches. The speeches into those, and they're quite often a bit convoluted and a bit longer than they might need be. Mm. But they do cover all the bases, you know, in sort of that Platonic sense. They cover everything that you would think was relevant, and so you get more than one explanation. I mean, what was one of the other ones? Alcibiades says, just generally, this is what we do. we're Athenians.
Traditionally, we go recklessly adventuring around the Mediterranean.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll come up with some harebrained scheme and just go do it and see what happens.
Yeah, weren't there monuments put up to the dead in like Egypt and Lebanon and all of the Eastern Mediterranean where the Athenians had just sailed out, done something crazy, got killed, and then put up a statue saying, "Hey, we were great." This is just the Athenian way of life, it seems.
Yeah, you know? Famously. There was a big expedition to Egypt where everyone seemed to get chopped to bits in the end. But they were, that didn't put them off, you know. They were like, you know, we gave it a shot and we lost that time, sure, but
next time. Yeah. You know, but this is why I love Athens, right? It's because it's obviously something to do with the radical democracy, right? It's got to be something to do with the sort of creative energy that's unleashed when you don't have just an aristocracy sitting on top of a civilization. So anyone at the bottom realizes, actually, with a bit of guile and a bit of energy, you know, we can go anywhere. We can do anything. Oh my God, we're suddenly released from these bonds. And so now we can, you know, go around conquering and setting up democracies everywhere else. Everyone needs a democracy. Look how powerful it's made us. And so Athens finds itself with like huge amounts of manpower and resources and like energy and excitement. The world's their oyster. And they go around doing crazy things. And to the rest of the world, they must have just looked like a dangerous, like, cancer that sprung up. Oh my God, what are they doing? They're invading everywhere. Why? You know, what's going on? And the Athenians are basically doing it almost for the fun of it. And it's mad. Mm. You know, it's like, well, we're going to get glory and heroism. And it's like, well, one day.
It is like a preemptive strike, isn't it? That is what you would call it.
Strike on sanity. The Athenians are the most like emotional and irrational, rational people in the world. I swear to God. That's why I love it.
And one other just thing I'll quick say just in general about it is that maybe you can argue, or most people argue, that Athens was at its absolute height under the age of Pericles, which is just before this war starts. But you could also argue that they're almost at their height or one of their zeniths at this point, just before the war goes hot again.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult to look back on it in any other light than that it's either the beginning of the end, or it's just the end here. This is just, when we look back on it, it was the wrong thing to do, wasn't it, strategically?
What? We'll come to that.
Hindsight is 2020, isn't it?
Because it is, but I think there are arguments in favour. But the thing with Athens, Athens is like this oscillating wave where it's peaks and troughs, peaks and troughs, peaks and troughs. And every time you think, right, okay, this trough has to be the lowest one, they peak back up again. Hmm. And they find all this energy, they draw up more men, they get, loads more money, and suddenly, the Athenians are dominating the waves again or something crazy like this. And it's like, I don't even know how they're doing it, because it's not like Attica's even a very good part of Greece. Attica's quite bare. Mm. It's not good soil. I guess the silver mines in Larium probably really helped. But it's weird. It's not even like in a very defensible position. It's on the midway between the Peloponnese and the rest of Greece. And it's just like, it just looks like it's not a very strategically viable place for a great empire to spring up. And yet, here we are. And so there's a lot to be said about the creative energy of the Athenians. But
oh, John, have you got that picture up? Yeah, so you can just see at a glance there that it's...
it's right in the centre of the Greek world.
They've got to... That Athenian expedition have got to just completely leave Sparta, leave all of the Peloponnese alone, just sail around it. It's like it's nowhere near it, is it? And there's that grand scheme, which I don't think it's really spoken of too much in the sources, once or twice hinted at, sort of in the mouth of an Alcibiadean speech. Hmm. But he says that what they want to do was conquer Sicily, all of Sicily, apparently. Yep. Then all the...
Carthage,
well, then Italy as well, big chunks of Italy, where there's sort of unfriendly Greeks or Dorian Greeks in Italy. You want to get rid of all those. Then Carthage.
Then Libya.
Finally they'll come back and smash Sparta once and for all. And then they'll be the masters of the entire Mediterranean world.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Bit mad.
Yeah. It's wild. Athens at this point controls basically the Aegean Sea, the coastal regions of the Aegean Sea, which you can see on the map there. Because it's got this sort of colonial empire that it inherited out of the Delian League, which was a way of protecting themselves against the Persians, which is all sensible. But then you just look at the amount of land that they're talking about, and then you look at Carthage and North Africa, and they don't know anything about these areas. This is one of the things that I was genuinely surprised about when I was rereading in preparation for all this. It's just how little information they had about these foreign lands. I assumed that they would have had traders and things like that, and they would have been like, oh, tell us about Carthage, tell us about Sicily, tell us about Italy. But in fact, they had no idea how big Sicily was. Mm. And it's like, what are you doing?
Well, when it first kicks off in Thucydides, anyway, he gives us a scene, doesn't he, of Nicias and Alcibiades in Athens debating it in front of the Athenian citizens, and they're both trying to sort of win the war of what would you say, the popular
the will of the people.
And he first lets Nicias speak, who obviously is against the idea of this expedition. Maybe that first quote there?
Nicias says, "It really is a good thing for us to is it really a good thing for us to send the ships at all? I think we ought not to give such hasty consideration so important a matter on the credit of foreigners get drawn into a war which doesn't concern us." Just before we go on, right, so let's quickly fill people in. So the casus belli for even discussing this, why they're even considering this, is because there's a small city on Sicily called Agestina, is it?
Agestia.
Right. And they're complaining about the Syracusans. And they're like, be our allies. And the Athenians were obviously looking at going, oh, that gives us a reason to go over there, so we'll take that. And the Romans did this all the time. This is typical conquering and self-defense mentality that Athens has. Because they realize they're an energetic city. They're going to get out there and do something. And so the Agestians ask the Athenians to punish the Syracusans, which is no small job. And that they've got loads of money and loads of manpower and all of these false promises, which turned out not to be true.
Well, that was one of the things they promised, lots and lots and lots of silver, hundreds and hundreds of talents worth of silver, that even to the Athenians, who are massively rich, it's still like...
Wow, that's a lot. Dollar signs up in the eyes, and it's like, ooh. And so the Athenians, without very much information at all, get into this debate. And so, he says, well, it's to the credit of foreigners, which concerns a war, drawn into a war which does not concern us. In going to Sicily, you are leaving many enemies behind you, and you apparently want to make new ones there and also have them on your hands. And this is no time for running risks or grasping at a new empire before we have secured the one we have already. The report from the Agestians was encouraging, but untrue, particularly on the question of the money, which is said to be available in large quantities in the treasury and in the temples. Just to pause there, Nicias is obviously right. Because Agestia is a non-entity. Like, it's not an important place. It's, I mean, if it was like Syracuse saying, hey, we've got tons of cash, you can believe it because Syracuse is a massive city, major trading hub. You know, okay, maybe they do, you know, but the Agestians don't. And even Nicias, you know, everyone knows this. So anyway, Nicias had not wanted to be chosen for the command. His view was that the city was making a mistake and, on a slight pretext which looked unreasonable, was in fact aiming at conquering the whole of Sicily, a very considerable undertaking indeed. It is senseless to go against people who, even if conquered, could not be controlled, while failure would leave us much worse off than we were before we made the attempt. Spoiler alert, Nicias was right.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.